Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. What does the Bible really teach? What did Jesus teach? What did the apostles teach? How are we to live in this day and age? And that's what Church at Home is all about. Because, you see, so many things are happening in the so-called Christian churches of this world that you have to begin, as they did in the early New Testament church, at home. So you can get yourself a good Bible. Now you can go on to our home page, and we have a special way that you can get the Holy Bible in its original order. This is the one that I use for all of Church at Home segments that we do. And this is the most accurate translation in English of the entire Bible today. And also, it corrects the hundreds of mistranslations and misinterpretations of the King James Version Bible, which a lot of people esteem as if it were the original Greek and Hebrew, but it's not. So if you want that, go on our homepage and there will be the information on how you can acquire one. Now, Church at Home is so important because you can put away the things of the world, you can control the time, you can turn off the television, you can pray right at home on your knees. Jesus said, go to a private, quiet place and pray. All this public prayer, you don't find in the Bible very much public prayer. And even when Jesus prayed in public, it was for what? A blessing on the meal. The question has been asked of various pastors, should I avoid going to church and stay at home? Well, here's an answer from a Catholic priest. He says, no, it's not wrong for you to stay at home, no, but you're missing out. Jesus announces that he has come to call sinners to repentance, but the righteous who are healthy have no need of a Savior. Now, I don't know why he quotes that. Everybody needs a Savior. Everybody is a sinner. Everyone has need of salvation, but the question remains, do you get salvation because you are churched? Or do you receive salvation because you repent and are baptized, receive the Holy Spirit, and love God and keep His commandments? How does salvation come? Does it come because you take of the sacrifice of the Mass? And where do you find that in the Bible? Now, we'll cover that a little later. But anyway, he says, houses of worship provide a gathering for those who are sick, wounded, and openly in need of forgiveness, nourishment, and direction. Really? That's not where you repent. You repent alone on your knees before God. Nowhere does the Bible teach the Catholic doctrine of confession to a priest, not in the Bible. Even the Jews hostile to Jesus understood that only God can forgive sin. And besides, for those of you who have gone to confession, did you really, 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 really tell the priest everything? Of course you didn't. As like one man who went into the confessional booth. And the priest said, well, you can begin your confession. And the man said, well, no. I don't know why they call him father, because how can you be a father if you're not married? It's always been a hard one for me to figure out. He said, before I give you my sins, let's begin with yours. Of Continuing with the article, in addition, a Catholic professes that in liturgical action we encounter Jesus Christ in a way we do not on our own. Not so. You encounter Christ with the Spirit of God and the Word of God, not a liturgy. And by the way, all the liturgy for the whole year in every Catholic church and cathedral has been written out in advance. How's that for inspiration? That's not the way to teach the Word of God. Continuing, our public worship as the body of Christ is a participation in words and actions of our eternal High Priest Jesus. Not so. You might investigate sacrifice of the Mass. It's not in the Bible. Just to give you one simple clue. At the Passover, and that's what should be kept, the Christian Passover, for those who are baptized and have the Holy Spirit of God, Jesus broke the unleavened bread. Why does the Catholic priest give you a round, unbroken wafer? And in fact, the broken wafer is not fit for the Mass. How did that come about? You might do some research. There's a book you can read. You can download it. We have it right online here. You can download it. The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop, proving that Catholic worship is the worship of Semiramis and Nimrod. Who are they? Well, that shows you don't know much about your Bible, because it talks about it in the Bible about Nimrod, and it talks about how he was put himself in place of God. So you might ask yourself the question, how have I believed all these things and thought it was right? Well, you grew up in it and thought it was right. Let's read on here. Public worship is an immersion in the saving work of Jesus Christ, the joining of sinners in communion in a sacred action that assists our growth and acknowledges our belief that Jesus is present. Not so. Which day did we see in the last segment that God blessed? The Sabbath. Which group does God bless? Those who are gathered in His name, as few as two and three, who love Him and keep His commandments. And who is the high priest? Jesus Christ. Did you know that in the New Testament church there were no priests? So how come the Catholic Church has priests? See, some of these are so basic questions that even to ask them, some people would say, well, who is this lunatic? Is he out there to destroy all churches in the world? No. But God will. Unless there is repentance and change and return to the true Jesus Christ and the true Word of God. God doesn't work through the teachings of the traditions of men or the teachings of the traditions of a church or what people think or assume is what God wants. He works through what He has said and inspired by His servants to write, so that you would know what God wants from you. So then he ends up by saying this. This is why the author of Hebrews encourages the faithful not to stay away from assembly, because a disciple of Jesus needs the encouragement of others. You need Jesus Christ first. And you need the Holy Spirit, which is the Comforter. And you need the Word of God so that you know what you can do and what you should do and what God requires of you. That's why church at home. What if you go to church and you hear about all the community works that are done? Now, and if you're a good Christian, you'll do these community works. Yes, you ought to feed the poor. Yes, you ought to take care of the homeless. But don't you think you should also teach them how they can work? How they need to repent of their sins so they're not homeless? How they can really understand about Jesus Christ and get their lives squared around? But what if you go to church and you hear politically correct things? Now, here's what's happening in a lot of churches today. And this is why people are leaving. We're going to read another report here where the Southern Baptist Church is even thinking of changing its name, thinking that's going to help declining attendance. But what they don't understand is this. People go to their churches and they don't find God. People go to their assemblies and they don't find Jesus Christ. People go to hear sermons and the Word of God, and they hear blither and blather and politically correct things that have nothing to do with God. But a perversion of the Scripture, an entrance of Satan the devil into those churches. This is why church at home. Let me read you this. Pro-gay religious groups pit scriptures in fight for marriage, that is gay marriage. Now, you're going to find that deception comes by challenging the thesis that is what is established. And the challenge is antithesis. And then the fight goes on. Then there's synthesis. That's the reconciliation. But one of the first tactics is this. Change the meaning of the word. All right? That's what they are doing. How do you think the homosexual movement has gained so much? Because they changed the word. They call themselves gay. And they changed the meaning of love to mean that all lust is love. And so therefore, if a man can love a woman, then a man can love a man, and a woman can love a woman. And what is the difference? The difference is God says those kinds of things are an abomination to him. And God forbids that and says that is sin. But because we've gotten into a posture in the government and in churches that we don't want to offend anyone, and because the object of churches is to have people churched rather than be converted, then all of these strange things come in. So let me read you this report. Faith workers and lay people from numerous denominations and religions will convene next month at the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force in Baltimore's conference to strategize on how to bring more faith allies into the LGBT movement and how best to counter religious-based bigotry. Aha! You see, if you read, thus saith the Lord, now you're a bigot. If you say that kind of abominable behavior is condemned in the Word of God, you are anti-gay. Well, is God pro-homosexual? He's not. So then what should be preached? But you see, they make the inroads into the churches. Let's read on. A growing number of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender-affirming religious groups are adopting religious messages to address what they deem as bigotry. Notice it's their own thoughts that they are trying to uphold. Not going into the Word of God to find out what does God say. So here's what they do. A sleight of hand. rather than referencing biblical passages that recount homosexual sex as an abomination, progressive. Now, stop right there. Progressive is a good word to use, because if you are progressive, then you are not regressive. So what they are saying then, if you don't accept this kind of progressive thinking, you are a bigot and you are regressive. Well, that tells you what they think of God. Progressive Christian leaders are spreading messages of inclusion, openness, and acceptance of committed same-sex marriages that are honorable to God. Now, how can you do that? What does God say? A man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. That's what the Bible says. So they changed love, they changed rejection of sin to being bigots, they changed abomination to that which is good. So where you go to church supposedly to find good, supposedly to find God, what do you find? Politically correct sinners trying to enforce on God their ways. That's why church at home. Because at home, you can control the environment. You can come before God yourself. Now, let's read what it says here in Isaiah 5 and verse 20. This is what is happening in the churches. Right here, I'm just reading it to you. It's taking place right now. Isaiah 5 and verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That's exactly what they are doing. Remember, they're not searching for the word of God to see what it says that I can draw closer to God and be converted and love him and keep his commandments. No. They are searching the scriptures so that they think they can extract their own perverted beliefs out of the scriptures. But notice what God says about that here. Verse 21. Woe to them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Yes, they're bringing evil and damnation and sickness and disease upon people. They're not bringing truth and freedom and conversion. Why would you want to go to a church that would endorse same-sex marriages? And now they're going to try and infiltrate every church that there is. That's why church at home. So church at home 2 years later is much more needed than when we first started. Continuing on, verse 22. Woe to them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink. We can add today, woe to those who are insane enough to take drugs, smoke pot, take meth. Have you seen the lives that have been ruined by that? Have you ever seen what they do to their bodies? Oh, all dentists know who are the meth takers because their teeth all rot out. And all he has to do when he says, open your mouth, he knows what you have done. He's seen hundreds of those. Ruined their minds, ruined their bodies, ruined their health. Oh, but we have freedom of choice. Yes, indeed. Now it talks about the politicians, verse 23, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. And that's what they do. You want to go to church to find out what God says so you can live a right life? Can't find it in church because they take it away. They say the Old Testament is done away. And furthermore, most of the New Testament we don't need to follow. Let's see what's going to happen. Why are we going to enter a time, and let me just be very frank with you and tell you the truth. If you do not understand that the United States in particular and the world in general is heading for absolute calamitous times, and death and destruction that is going to be wreaked upon this land, then you don't have a clue, because it is coming. Because this nation and this people have sinned against God to high heaven. A lot of people look and say, well, if we can elect the right man as president, or the right senator, the right representative, the right governor. Wrong, 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 wrong. Understand this. You can't solve spiritual problems by political means. If every individual does not come and repent to God and return to God and begin to keep His commandments, begin to love Him and understand what needs to be done, death and destruction is going to come on such a level and in such a scale that you're not going to believe it. Notice, verse 24, therefore, as the fire devours the stubble and the flame burns up the chaff, their roots shall be like rottenness, and their blossoms shall go up like dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. That's what's happened. The whole world and our nation. The last bastion of Christianity. The only place in the world where the gospel is being preached, whether in truth or whether in vanity, whether for God or whether for self, there is no other place on this planet. Now, doesn't that tell you how far we have gone from God? And doesn't that tell you how much you need church at home? Let's see what else they're going to do. Remember what I said? You change the definition, you change the word. That's what they have done. Now notice, here is what is argued from Leviticus. It said that Israelites were barred from homosexual relations was part of a purity law meant to keep the Israelites separate from Babylon. Not a true statement, twisted, perverted, see? Because once you get the mind all messed up with perverted sex, your mind is perverted, your thoughts are perverted, your emotions are perverted, you see? So they reasoned this way. Because Jesus welcomed the unclean to Him throughout His life's ministry and fulfilled the purity code in His body on the cross that is for us. In Christ, there is neither gay nor straight. How's that for a perversion of Scripture? How's that for wanting to go to church on Sunday and try and find out about God, and you're being preached huge ladles of perversion and Satanism right from the pulpit where Christ should be preached? How's that? See, that's why church at home. Because we're going to see all the Sunday-keeping churches in this world are going to become more and more and more perverted and more downgraded of understanding about God and Christ and the truth. It's just going to happen without a doubt. Now, there are some who refute this, some who still say the Bible does not accept homosexual behavior of any kind, nor does it call on Christians or society to treat homosexual behavior as normal. What is happening? Where is truth? Fallen in the streets. Where is understanding? It is given over to perversion and ignorance. Where is the Word of God and the law of God? Cast behind them. So that's why church at home is more necessary now than it was 2 years ago when we first started. So be sure and write in for our material. You can order it online. Lord, what should I do? Download the studies that we have listed on our home page. Read them, study them, understand them. If you're a Catholic that is disturbed with what's going on, you download the book, The Two Babylons, by Alexander Hislop, and that is going to open your eyes and your mind like nothing you have ever read in your life. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home, and be sure and use our other website, cbcg.org. And this is Fred Coulter saying, until next time, so long, everyone.